Hi, welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. I'm Joseph G, and we have a great panel with us today. We're going to start out by introducing ourselves.
I'm Catherine Smith from the Blog for Democracy and Georgia for Democracy.
Griff Drift from Drifting Through the Grift.
Randy Lewis, GeorgiaPoliticalDigest.com.
Jen Brock, Blog for Democracy.
This is Larry, otherwise known as Decatur Guy of, what's my blog's name? I can't even remember. Atlanta Public Affairs and Peach Pundit.
All right, well, the last time we all got together, it was actually right before the Georgia legislative session, and here we are right after they've gone home and seemingly not really accomplished that much. It almost seems kind of like a redo of last year with, you know, the session ending, nothing accomplished, and the governor, the lieutenant governor and the speaker of the house all pointing fingers at each other in terms of why nothing seemed to get done. And Randy, why don't you, can you give us any insight into what's happening in the Republican leadership?
A complete failure of leadership from top to bottom. You know, Sonny Perdue's always been somewhat of a passive governor. He's more of in the caretaker model, which, you know, not my cup of tea, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that model of governor. There have been very successful governors who have adopted that model of governing. But this year, with his trip to China, it sort of reinforced that, certainly. On the legislative side, you know, Casey Cagle probably does a very good job of managing the Senate, but over on the House side, it's nothing but cutthroats, den of thieves kind of attitude going on, and it shut down the entire process. Yeah, for those of us who are more conservative, you know, you always feel safer when the legislature can't get anything done. But this year, they even managed to not get done some of the most basic elements that they have to get done. They passed the budget and a few other things, but certainly nothing to cheer about. The only way to summarize it's a complete failure of leadership within the Republican Party.
And I'll say that the difference between this year and last year is I think this time Cagle got stained a little bit.
I think so.
Last year he kept his head above water. This time, I mean, the failure on the transportation bill to regionalize the taxes, I mean, even the Georgia Chamber of Commerce was trying to throw darts at Casey Cagle. So I think he got damaged a little bit. In 2010, he I don't think he's going to run.
Yeah, and that proposal, by the way, was supported by the Sierra Club and the Georgia Chamber.
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there was...
It was crazy.
It's a long list. Yeah. It's county commissions, city commissions. Everybody was on board with that. It got tied up in the various tax-cutting proposals.
I don't think it's just conservatives who are glad that nothing gets done. I think, you know, when the leadership of the Republican Party and the legislators... what we consider radical right-wing Republicans, us liberals are pretty glad nothing got done either.
And actually, there's a good example of that. The House passed the non-unanimous death penalty, making it you'd only needed 10 people to vote for the death penalty. Senate Judiciary didn't like it, so they sort of tabled it. And then when the Senate voted on the life without parole bill, they passed it, sent it to the House, and then the House added the non-unanimous death penalty to it. And that, you know, so that's not going to get anything done. But that was, you know, that was fine with me.
There was a lot of legislative ping pong this session. They would send a bill over to one mm-hmm. side, and it would come back. They were resurrecting zombies that had been killed, and stuff just ended up going off into the ether, and nothing got done.
Well, I kept thinking that all they really wanted to do was get out of there and go home and start raising money to run again. It was just like nobody really wanted to have their name on any legislation that might cause them trouble at home. Nobody wanted to be, you know, to stand up for anything that might get them in trouble. And all they really wanted to do was get out of there and go home and raise money. But that was my impression I got.
This failure of Republican leadership, though, is not limited to just the legislature. I, because of some client situations, very closely watched the Public Service Commission. All five commissioners are Republican. It is a complete breakdown of the process over there as well. And in fact, there was a meeting just 2 months ago where two of the commissioners were so angry at the other three, they got up and walked out of the meeting. They do not function at all. And as a result, the staff is, in fact, running the Public Service Commission. None of the members are in charge.
Sounds like you're describing the DeKalb County Commission.
So, were there any successes that came out of the legislature this year?
Grady got some money, but you have to add on to that you know, the problem is the successes are also tied to failures. Grady got some money, got some funding, But at the same time, they failed to fund a trauma network for the second year in a row. We do not have a trauma network in this state, and that is a huge failure.
Probably the only thing that has a statewide impact that everyone can be somewhat pleased about is that they've started the process of building more reservoirs, and but that's good. All that does is begin the process of tying everything up in court.
Exactly.
You're looking at a decade of lawsuits. But it's...
Well, the decade of lawsuits that we're going to lose, and even if we win them, then it's the 20 years to build them.
That's
and...
right.
What happened with the trying to take away part of Tennessee's land?
Well, that prompted the Tennessee legislature to, you know, I can't remember, I heard it on the radio the other day, like they passed some legislation that will basically stop that from happening.
Yeah, it was the governor just signed the legislation to basically reject the call for a border commission between the two states.
But we did get it. I think we got a guy on the TVA now.
Yes,
like,
we do.
From the state. So yeah. It was all negotiating ploy. Eventually, we're going to get a pipeline into the Tennessee through Tennessee, you know, through the federal land or through Tennessee's land.
Well, didn't they ship some water over? Didn't they bring
bottles
over, like,
of
a
water.
Truck full of bottles?
with like the mayor of some place in like a coonskin cap and something.
There is one interesting element there. It's not really part of the discussion, but the land between the Georgia current border and the Nickjack Dam, which is what we want to tap, is federal land.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's going to go through federal land.
So there's a potential there. The other option, of course, is they've got a really nice airport up there that should be the Northside Airport for Atlanta. And if, you know, there's obviously a trade there if anybody wants to do that, but it would mean siphoning off passengers from Atlanta.
Well, I actually heard something one time. They were talking about something about the long dormant rail between Chattanooga and Atlanta. Like if we built that there would be some sort of exchange, so that that airport becomes a second airport.
Yeah, and there are several senators, even on the Georgia side, legislators on the Georgia side, who would like to build a high speed rail that runs from the Atlanta airport to the Chattanooga airport.
Right.
That would have stops along the way for North Georgia. That would open up that whole area to development even more than it is.
But it would also be perfect for the problem that is Interstate 75 for commuters up to that MARTA doesn't have any rail to.
The Vinings Homeowners Association actually just sent out an email, I think it was on Friday, talking about originally it was going to be the Canton line that was going to go to Atlanta, and apparently now it's going to stop over in Cartersville. And they were talking about, you know, they already have the existent lines, apparently CSX. Already wants to double track some of those, and so they were just going to do that. But of course, you know, that's going to take years. But they seem to, you know, they want everybody to oppose it because of noise. But it seems like it's been on the move if they want everybody to come out and have a meeting about it.
What's funny is no matter what subject we talk about, we always end up coming back to transportation.
Well, that's the biggest problem in at least metro Atlanta.
Yeah.
Transportation and water.
And water. But it's raining again, so, you know.
You can fill your swimming pool.
Was that due to the legislature? Or was
actually, the legislature passed a bill called 1281, which removed the local water authorities' ability to close pools and also cut off watering for landscaping. That was something else that they did. The goal here is to get one sort of regional type rule as opposed to every city and county having their own rules, which is impossible for citizens to know what to do, and it's virtually impossible for then those local water authorities to enforce.
You know, for a bunch of Republicans, they don't like local control very much.
I would be amiss to let this topic pass without saying that regardless of the failure of leadership on the Republicans' part, the Democrats didn't do a damn thing either to stand up and say, hey, we're different. This is why we should have back control. As a matter of fact, I predict they won't even have enough candidates to even have a mathematical chance of taking back control of either the House or Senate next time. All at the same time, voting for the very same ridiculous legislation, the very top of the Democratic leadership, voting for the same ridiculous legislation that we're lambasting here today.
And you've actually written some pretty critical things about the leadership.
Yeah, you know? Apparently, you know, DeBose Porter and Rob Talay believe that the way they're going to get control of the legislature is to allow people to carry guns on MARTA. How that is going to get Democrats back in control of the legislature in Georgia is beyond me. Everybody's operating all the way from Roy Barnes down under the myth that Georgia is still some conservative Democrat state. It's over, boys. This is the Georgia Democratic Party is probably 55% African American. The other quarter is probably urban liberals in within 20 miles of the state capital of Atlanta.
They all live in Virginia Highland.
Yeah. I mean, Roy Barnes...
They all live in my neighborhood.
Roy Barnes literally said, the reason I support John Edwards is because he looks like us and talks like us. What does that mean other than he's a white male Southerner? It's not the party anymore, and the leadership from the top down doesn't even understand that.
Yeah, I think you're right on target. Right now, every Republican in the House of Representatives should be in fear of their jobs, and they don't even have to think about it.
Yeah. Only from within. I mean, within the primary would be most of their only chance of getting defeated.
Well, and the thing is back to what you were saying about candidates running, it's ridiculous. In Fulton County, for example, we have, at last count, 15 candidates running for sheriff. 15 in the Democratic primary. 15. But there's seats going unopposed in Metro Atlanta. It's like, why are we... Why is this happening? You know, where's the...
Because sheriff's a better job.
Well, sheriff's a better... It pays more. But I mean... There
I don't know
is
why
no,
you would want that job.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a very good track right now.
That's a good point.
But then we have, you know, a couple people running... Two people running against Congressman Lewis...
Yeah.
In the Congressional District 5.
Good luck.
Certainly no failure of leadership there.
What? Can someone explain that to me?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah, I mean, why is anyone running against John Lewis?
I think that what prompted that was his support of Hillary Clinton, his initial support of Hillary Clinton, and then his resistance to changing that support until ultimately he did under pressure from...
He actually did once he did have opposition in his race, didn't he?
It was before that.
Well,
it was the guy who was calling for him.
That's nothing anybody's going to defeat him over.
Yeah. Well, I know. Just far be it from Democrats to not stick a fork in a legendary congressman.
and then...
You know, a guy that literally bled for civil rights.
There's an open seat. There's going to be an election in a couple weeks. I think it's May 12th or something. And there's four people running in that. It's like, why are we running people in all the, you know, running Democrats against Democrats, but not running in all the... maybe we can't run in all the seats, but I don't know.
Maybe all the activists all live in the same district.
We don't need activists. We need people who have jobs and who've had experience out and who... Mm-hmm. Who've decided that they've done what they can in the private sector and want to try to make a difference on the state level.
Right.
And you need to elect them at the state level first so that you have, like, a farm team or whatever you want to call it to get into the congressional races. I mean, I think part of the problem is the Democratic Party has a roadblock at the federal level, the congressional level. Everybody's actually pretty happy. It's 7-6 split. No one's really unhappy, other than Barrow and Marshall. You know, that's sort of weird. But where are you going to pull somebody? You going to run somebody in Gwinnett County? What is the state caucus look like from Gwinnett County? Is there a Democrat?
Well, more and more, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe. I think you will. Yeah.
And if you're going to run, isn't this the year to run?
Absolutely.
That's what I was saying yesterday to someone. I mean, if you want to run as a Democrat in Georgia, this is the year to try it. With, you know, if it's looking more and more like Barack Obama's going to be our nominee for president. There's a lot of enthusiasm. I mean,
I don't buy that.
As long as no more tapes come out. Wonder where that came from.
Although,
I mean, I was enthusiastic yesterday at the 5th Congressional District Caucus. There were 1,100 people out there to elect 5 delegates for Barack Obama and 2 for Hillary Clinton. I think that this is a really good time to be a Democrat in Georgia. Even though the leadership at the party level has been less than stellar, in my opinion.
Well, speaking of elections, just a thing that I've noticed recently are all the people from the blogosphere who've started kind of seeping into the actual political arena, and you started seeing it like last year or the year before with the South Fulton thing when Andre Walker was. Running for the council seat down there, but I guess that never actually even could happen. But also Eric Erickson of Peach Pundit ran and
Red
won
State.
For yeah, and Red State ran and won a seat on the Macon City Council. Chris Hutman, who did the Chris's Hardcore blog, I think he also has posting rights on Peach Pundit.
And Tondi's.
And yeah. Tondi's Tavern. He's going to be running in my district, 81, against Jill Chambers. There's some others too. I think.
Bull Moose of Peach Pundit ran for city council in Savannah, I believe, and there's some kid down in either Jonesboro or Stockbridge that posted on Jason Pye's blog that ran for city council and lost.
You know, the greatest fear in the past.
County commission.
Greatest fear in the past has been someone running for office, and they say, you know, the opponent would hold up their voting record and say, "I have your voting record." And now it's going to be, "I have your Google record."
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is their blogging record going to hurt or help them? I mean,
it'll hurt them.
It almost always hurt them.
Yeah.
I think it probably depends on the person.
You know, there was a
I think Chris Harcourt's going to hurt him only because he defends the party so much, and you know, most people are not so much.
Well, his
so
yeah, his opponent is not
going to
be very very gentle.
One of the old congressional adages is you can never lose an election because of the speech you didn't give. Mm. And the being a blogger is an endless stream of speeches you should not have given.
Do you think that, like, that blogging or being like some people who are really interested in politics are probably the ones who are the most likely to be bloggers? And I think that as time goes on, more and more of the people who are getting into politics are probably going to have blogged or had some kind of history
that will be
referenceable. And it's going to become bigger and bigger. It's just an interesting thought to think how that's going to...
Yeah, and nothing about blogging encourages a temperate sort of...
No, not at
manner.
All.
Really? I disagree.
Well, there you go. You've already demonstrated.
Wait a minute. There we go. There's the moment where Randy and I disagree. Well, I don't think it would be a problem, actually. I think it could be a problem. Let me put it that way. But I think... one of the things about bloggers is what I think bloggers should be, what we should aspire to be, is to be honest about our views. And as long as you're honest about your views, that should carry over into your public service, and maybe that's a good thing.
And I think we all overestimate our own self-importance, that people are going to really give a flip about what you may have written a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Ask Ron Paul about that. Yeah. The mail tracks from like 1987.
It depends on what you say, clearly.
Exactly.
Well, I think it depends on what you say, and like you said, how consistent it is with what you've, if you've, you know, carried the same message, you know, over time. And also, if you said a lot of things 5 years ago and haven't said anything since, or haven't been very active since, or haven't had a lot to say, then... If that's the only thing they can find that you said, then they're going to use that.
All you got to do is the politicians who do have blogs, look at their blogs and look at people who are not in office. And you can see how cautious they are as to what they say, with the exception of Steve Davis. And maybe John Douglas, but other than those two,
does John Douglas have a blog?
It's sort of a blog.
Most of them don't really have what I would call a blogs.
Yeah.
Like, they don't allow comments. Because that's really, I mean, if they're going to be, I mean, it's one thing to just blog what you have to say, but I think the other thing, I mean, we get it on Blog for Democracy all the time. People, you know, who don't quite understand how it works, you know, get angry with us because of comments from someone who we have no control of course. So I think that's the other thing. If you're a blogger but don't allow comments, then you really do have some control of what you're...
You might as well just be sending out press releases.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But still, people view that as...
I know.
Some people view that as blogging. I don't necessarily.
Well, there's one more thing that I want to talk about tonight, and it's because it's such a topical issue, and that's the flap at the Georgia DOT, and Grift, I'm gonna let you kind of give the rundown on what's happened and what we're looking at happening
well,
in the future.
Well, apparently this week, let me see if I will mix up these terms, I'm sure, but board member Mike Evans resigned because he has developed a relationship with Commissioner Gina Abrams, and that is not allowed. You can't have I'm not sure how to put it, a relationship between the commissioner and a board member. So he resigned this week, and the reason that's contentious is because Mike Evans' election this past legislative season was very contentious in the legislature. Speaker Richardson made it very obvious that he wanted him gone. And a lot of legislators in the 9th District stuck their necks out to get him back on the board, and then here we are 2 months later, and it's like, I want a girlfriend, I'm leaving. And apparently there is a vote tomorrow about Commissioner Abrams, because there were some very close votes in the last couple of months that sort of went her way. And
including her selection.
Including her selection.
By one vote.
Yeah, it was. They were like all 7-6, and there's going to be some investigation in this. And, you know, she's had a grace period, because she's actually apparently very competent, and they're not used to that at the DOT or Capitol Hill. And she's turned over a lot of rocks and found a lot of rotten soil there, so she's been doing a good job, and this is her first real political bump in the road, and the question is going to be whether she can survive this or not.
My favorite thing about this was, I read somewhere, I can't remember where it was, if it was on a blog or somewhere, but someone was saying, well, at least they were both, at least they weren't cheating.
Right.
They weren't married. So, it was like, that was the big news.
On the Georgia game this morning, they literally said, well, at least there weren't hookers involved.
But I just remember thinking, well, I guess that's true. You know, they weren't cheating on a spouse or...
Standards are so low.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of sad, though, that that we get a competent person in an executive branch position. And they're very honest, at least at this point, as far as what they've said, they were very honest about their relationship, and it suddenly turns into this, we got to get rid of two people. You can argue whether they're competent or not, but still.
Well, Sonny Perdue was on the radio the other day. I heard him say that, you know, he thinks she should stay because you can't control your, you know, feelings, and if... I actually kind of liked what he said. He said, you know, we can't, you know, people fall in love in all kinds of circumstances.
So he was giving love advice.
Yeah, he was giving love advice.
But that's hilarious.
It was kind of grandpa love.
It was kind of grandpa like. But I mean,
love is a cruel master.
Right, but I think you're right, James. I mean, they, as far as we know, they've been honest, and they, you know, he resigned. You know, why can't we just sort of move on and let them?
It would be inexcusable to require both of them to step down. Mm-hmm. It is appropriate that one of them, and they can decide between the two of
sure.
them. One of them should not be in the position they're in. But once one of them steps down, the matter is taken care of, and it's just a matter of finding a replacement for them.
Jen, do you think it would have mattered if she had resigned instead of him? Do you think they would have?
I think he was the commissioner. I think he should have resigned.
No, he's the board member. She's the commissioner.
That's right.
Board of,
it's all I'm very just, confusing.
Well, I'm just,
then, yes, I would say that she probably should have resigned. She's the commissioner. She's the one that's got the bigger authority.
I kept hearing on the radio the other day that he actually was a deciding vote in favor of her or something.
Yes.
Well, so, that's the question.
Yeah.
And what was the impetus behind that?
Well, then you get into this thing of, when did the relationship begin?
Right.
And in any relationship, you ask a couple, when did this begin? And one of them will say, the moment I saw them. And the other one will say, oh, about 8 months later when I saw them throwing up at a frat party.
Yeah.
So nobody knows when the relationship begins.
And and Evans was very careful about the way he worded that. He, right. You know, he said, we have a friendship that I would like to see develop into something more. He is trying to set the benchmark as it's not really anything happening yet.
That's quite a way to ask for a date.
I'm telling you.
My wife was on my staff when I worked for the state of Florida. She was on my staff. I inherited her when I got a job. I decided I didn't like two people. I wanted to can them. She was one of them, and I worked feverishly to fire her. This went on for several months until...
That's quite a courting ritual, Randy.
And then you decided the only way you could fire her was by marrying her?
She knew it. She knew it, and she fought back.
Is this the first or second?
Yeah, this is the second one. She fought back. And this was over a period of about 3.5 years until finally we didn't even work together anymore. And then about 2 years later, we started dating. So when did the relationship begin?
Well, I just wonder. I'm just curious. I didn't really think about it until just, you know, a couple minutes ago. But I just wonder if it would have been different, if it would be different if the man, if there's any sexism involved in here, if the man had stayed and the woman had resigned, would there be the question? I don't know.
I don't
there
know.
Be the questions?
There would be, and it would be appropriate.
Okay.
I think it would. Also, okay. I don't know how many other female,
They're inappropriate to question, excuse me.
Female, like, heads of department we've had, but I can't remember one that's been this high profile. I mean,
well, she's got control over a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking roads in Georgia, you're talking about a big chunk of the budget.
Big money.
I don't know.
Thought about that.
The only other high profile would be DHR.
DHR, yeah.
That would be the only other comparable position.
They apparently have like 50% of the budget, so they got a lot of money, too.
Well,
are they doing anything with that money, though? Really?
I can't comment.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we're gonna say goodbye. I've really appreciated this conversation. I want to thank Rusty Amber and Georgia Podcast Network for providing the equipment to record this, and Manuel's Tavern for hosting. And why don't we start off with final thoughts? We'll start with Catherine.
Well, I just wanted to mention that this week was the 1 year anniversary of another political blog in Atlanta, in Georgia, the Tondi's Tavern. And tonight will be the 1 year anniversary of the Kudzu Vine on Blog Talk Radio. I'll be there in an hour or so, talking there. So, but thank you for listening.
No politics for me. Sports. Braves 3-game win streak swept the Dodgers. Hawks.
Four games.
Is it four? That's 4-game win streak. And Hawks start the playoffs tonight against the Celtics, and hopefully they will at least win one game.
Be nice.
My closing thought is watch the Republican primaries. You're going to see some fascinating things happening.
Most of the bills that failed in the criminal justice will probably pass next year. Life without parole, sex offender registry, and then they'll all be tied up with court with constitutional challenges.
All I can say is somebody's fingers are all over the DOT transportation board situation, and it'll come out shortly who those fingers were.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Join us next time.